So Acts chapter 8, starting partway through verse 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Today, we are thinking about change. I hardly need to state the obvious that this has been a time of major change for our society, for our church and for us as individuals. I'm sure many of us have experienced this as unwanted change, things that we never planned for. But what can God's word teach us about change? The passage I've chosen today concerns events that took place in the life of the early church, probably about 2 years after the day of Pentecost. You will remember, going back to our sermons a few months ago, that we looked at what happened in the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And we then considered the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We kind of pressed pause at that point, so you might have been wondering what happened next for the early church. So to give you the context for today's passage from the book of Acts, after Pentecost, the early believers had been living in Jerusalem, where the apostles were preaching about Jesus and showing how he was the long-awaited Messiah. Peter and John, the leaders of the group, had been urging people to turn to God and to experience forgiveness through Jesus. On the day of Pentecost itself, we heard that those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. And as Peter and John continued to heal and to preach, Acts 4 verse 4 tells us, "Many who heard the message believed, and their number grew to about 5,000. More time passed, and we read in Acts 5, verses 14 to 16, "More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed." This is heady stuff. This is the power of God at work through preaching and healing, with people being drawn to the gospel and finding new life in Jesus. There was opposition from the Jewish religious leaders, but overall there seems to have been about 2 years of persuasive preaching, miracles, and the early believers living a radical life, sharing their lives and their possessions. then suddenly everything changes. Stephen, who's a prominent person in the early church, is brought before the Jewish authorities, and he angers them so much by his preaching about Jesus that they put him to death. As we read today in Acts 8, verse 1, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." And verse 3, "Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." So from an explosion of the gospel to persecution and the threat of death, this is a major change and definitely unwelcome. I'm sure none of us would choose to have to leave our homes afraid for our lives. Maybe having to go and live with family in other parts of the country, maybe having to hide out in unlikely places. In those days, Samaria was not a place you would want to stay if you were Jewish. Samaritans were regarded as unclean. In history, they had married people from non-Jewish backgrounds, and a Jewish person would avoid even travelling through Samaria if he or she could help it. Yet now we see that the persecution meant that the early believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and their fear must have been significant. Acts 8 verse 3 says Saul began to destroy the church, and apparently the Greek word for destroy carries with it the idea of brutal cruelty, total destruction. Saul was savage in his hatred of the followers of Jesus, dragging them off to prison and to death. And the first point I would like to make today is that we need to acknowledge that change can be very painful. I don't think that when unwelcome change happens, we're supposed to just shrug it off and give it a Christian gloss of praise the Lord anyway. We are really fortunate in this country that we don't face cruelty and death for being Christians. But we still suffer the things that affect all human beings. And it may be that during our time of unwelcome change, you're feeling the pain of financial worries or isolation, not seeing friends and family. Maybe you desperately miss being able to gather as God's people. Maybe you are suffering bereavement. All these things are painful. Tim spoke last week about having to deal with second choice life. And I think it's okay to acknowledge this. As Tim said, there are many cries of lament in the Bible. You only have to look at the Psalms to see this. So it's okay to acknowledge when change is painful, and it's okay to express that pain to Jesus. The Bible tells us that in the midst of our changing world, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can turn to him in our suffering, even if it means that we cry at him as well as cry out to him. So change can be painful. But then look what happens in Acts 8 verse 3. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. They preached the word wherever they went. Suddenly the gospel escapes the confines of Jerusalem. Verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Verse 6, the crowds paid close attention to what he said. Verse 12, when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Jesus had said to the apostles before his ascension, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." God always intended that the good news should be taken from Jerusalem and preached to people of all races and beliefs. What the early church had been doing in Jerusalem was wonderful, but there was more to do in God's plan of salvation. And the very unwelcome change brought by persecution became the opportunity for God's purposes to unfold. So my second point today is that although change can be very painful, we should recognise that it can be God's agent for good. And you may have had experiences of this in your own life. 20 years ago, I went through a very painful change in my life. It wasn't one that I'd chosen, and it involved major emotional and physical upheaval. It meant I had to move away from East Staffordshire, where I was living, to near Newcastle under Lyme. I hadn't planned this, but it led to me starting to attend Newcastle Baptist Church, and in due course, this led to me going to theological college. The original time of change was extremely difficult, but I look back now and I see how God used it to bring about his purposes in my life. And I'm really grateful for what he's done. So I would encourage us all to consider how this time of change because of coronavirus could be a way for God to do a new thing. We've seen how in the early church, persecution pushed the gospel out of Jerusalem. Today, the preaching of God's word has been pushed out of our church buildings. And many have spoken of the advantages of having God's word available online. So what other new things might God be doing? And are we prepared to listen to him, even if it means leaving some familiar things behind? Are we willing to believe that change can be the means by which God fulfills his purposes? And then finally, from this passage in Acts, I think we can learn that we are in this together. Not one of us should feel alone. In Acts 8, we see that even though the believers were scattered, they were still connected. Peter and John travelled to Samaria when they heard that people were accepting God's word. Their prayers brought the gift of God's Spirit, if you like, God's seal of approval on Philip's work. It appears that the early believers were still able to communicate and to work together. A couple of weeks ago, I needed to go for petrol. And I suspect that for many of us, this has been an unusual event recently because we haven't been going anywhere for a long time. I discovered that my usual route was blocked by roadworks, and a small roundabout was now a bewildering array of cones with large arrows which seemed to direct me into the incoming traffic. And because I was at the front of the queue at the traffic lights, I didn't have anyone else to follow. However, these were four-way lights, so I did have time to watch other cars from other directions as they turned down the road I'd been worried about, and I could see it was indeed the right place to go. Finding our way is easier when others do it with us. Like the early church, we too are scattered but still connected. I think we can thank God for the internet, for the phones and for post, because we can keep in touch. So we all still have a part to play in God's work, and we're called to do it together. So if you are struggling with the pain of all the changes that are going on, then do tell someone. Email Tim on enquiry@newcastlebaptist.org if you need help. Share your experience with others and ask them to pray. And if you're pretty fine yourself, then think about others who may not be and be open to the prompting of God's Spirit. Get in touch with people. Pray for Tim, Tom and the deacons as they seek God's purposes. And share with them anything that you feel God might be saying. The days of business as usual may well be past. And God may well be calling us to bold and new ways of serving Jesus. So, as we see from our passage today, unwelcome change is painful, but it can be God's way to extend his kingdom in our suffering world. He calls us together to move forward in love, serving each other and showing Jesus and his love to those amongst whom we live. So let's hear his voice and follow him. Amen.